And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 240. I am Sy Sonnenstein.
240? I'm Samantha Rund.
And this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Today's episode, it's a hostful. It's Samantha and I breaking it down, flipping it upside down, and
walking it back around.
We walk it back around and therapize it. We therapize. I just realized I made that word up.
We're talking about like actor audition process and stuff. Therapize.
The acting process, we go over that. We talk a lot about my insecurities in performing. And Samantha tries to pump me up. And I appreciate it, Samantha. I do. And if anyone listening, though, if they are like, Silas, no, you're good enough. You can just book me. And that would show me that you care and you believe in me. One thing I forgot to say in the show that I want to bring up here, Samantha, about auditioning is why I hate the process so much.
Yeah.
Is because I firmly believe for 90% of the roles, they could just pick somebody and it would be fine. Like, I can do that role. What you're giving me, look, I have a reel. Clearly, I can do this. I can do it the way you want. You just need to give me a rehearsal, and I'm fine. I can do this. And so sometimes I do believe, like, granted, I know some people can't act, but if you know they can't act at all, you can almost put anybody in the role. Yeah, people need to look good together, right?
So here's...
That's why I get mad, because I'm like... No, because I've had people, I've done plays where I've been the director and I was planning to cast somebody and then someone else showed up, or that person didn't show up and I ended up booking someone else. And I'm like, oh my God, they just owned the role. It was perfect. And really in the end, you're just picking who is best for you at that moment. You're just picking who is best for you at the moment. But really, if someone's a good actor, you can make it work for them. Yeah. They're going to do it. That's what frustrates me. Just pick me because I'm good looking.
Oh, well, I'm like, you'd have to be on like an America's Next Top Model or something then, right? You're in the wrong profession then in a bit. But I think the other mindset shift that will help is to remember that as an actor, our job is auditioning. That's the thing. So like, I would love to help you find a way to enjoy auditioning. And I think when I was in LA, that mindset shift was really helpful to learn, is that like I had to learn to enjoy the audition process because that's the job. And then you book things sometimes until you're famous or whatever, and then you don't have to, and then you don't have to audition. But for most actors, auditioning is the job. That's the job. That is what you have control over.
But then they tell me they need this tomorrow at 2.
Yeah, exactly. And it's frustrating. I'm not saying it's like a all like puppies and roses.
What an annoying. What an annoying job.
It is.
Tomorrow at 2.
It is.
I need you to say these two lines. That was my favorite thing about a recent audition, was most of the audition was the other person. I was reading for the character that had one line.
Yeah.
And the other person had to, my reader had to do like two other parts talking to each other so that I could be there reacting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Why wouldn't you just give me one of the other roles to read?
Well, maybe
so you could see how I sound.
How you reacted. No, because if you're going to be playing the one that's reacting, they want to see how you're reacting. There's pointless to
what kills me is I'm imagining how this ends up getting cut too. In the end, is like, you're going to show this person like half a second.
Well,
there's a lot of work for that half second reaction shot. You don't think I can learn to react? Which do you want?
I mean, I think for me, probably the part that was most frustrating, it's the having to change my plans and having just a wrench being thrown into your plans all the time. I think that might have been the most annoying thing.
As an ADHD person, it is mind-numbingly difficult because I finally get in a routine and then I have to switch it and everything's out the window.
Yeah.
It's very hard, isn't it? Anyway, that's the part I didn't get to talk about in this. And I talked about it now in the intro, which I know some people don't like. I don't care. But some people don't like it. But there we are. But I have a lot more to say.
Yeah.
I rant a lot more and I'm very depressed.
We talk about scams and spam and we talk about AI a little bit. Mm-hmm. Mostly we do our like actor debriefing, but there's some other good gems in there too.
Yeah. So hope you enjoy it. Like we say in it, like, subscribe, share, do what you can. Be a friend. Help a friend. Help a brother out. And a sister, help a brother and sister out, will you? So sit back, relax, open your hearts, open your ear holes, and listen to episode number 240, The Actor's Therapy. Tell me if this has any relatability.
Okay.
Are summers less exciting to you now as with a kid?
Oh.
Because my summers, I feel like, used to be filled with watching blockbuster movies and all these things, summer, I got to do all these things. And now I'm just getting through the day I'm just on a how long until school's back in session. That's what my days are.
I think a lot of parents find what you're saying to be 100% relatable. For me, it's less relatable in the sense that, when you were saying, are your summers less fun now, before you were getting to the kid part, I was thinking, in general, I'm when I was in school, summers were awesome. But after leaving...
Which school? Do you mean, even college?
Yeah, because, college was so fun. And, I love school anyway. So, but school summers were also fun too. It was a real delineation of time, right? But then once you're in the workforce, you don't get your summers off anymore. So the real excitement as an adult for the summers for me was when I would do a Shakespeare festival or some other play that was during that summertime. Otherwise, it was also would be Seattle focused in terms of I would be coming home to visit Seattle when I was living out of the state. It'd be I'd come home on summer for my birthday, or it would be we're getting some sunshine now. But in terms of the excitement that I used to have when I was a kid or younger, right out of college, right in college, that stretch of time, it doesn't have the same structure to have that excitement for me. So I think
I was sold a bill of goods as a young person. Half of my parents' set were teachers. Mm-hmm. So they got summers off.
Yeah. My mom too.
Yeah. And, I had other relatives that were teachers. A bunch of their friends were teachers. So for me, you were off in the summer. That was the model I had growing up. It wasn't that, oh no, you just work. You keep going. Mm-hmm. That wasn't there. It was, and then I'm in college with a bunch of adults and we're working. I'd have a summer job, whether it was court theater in Chico, California, working a summer stock type of situation, or I worked summer orientation for a couple of years, doing tour guides for new students. And those, but I still had a whole lot of time off because even though,
yeah,
because you had training during the school year And then summer, you were just kind of doing the orientations, you know, every few days or whatever. And man, I feel tomorrow I'm going to go see the new Superman movie at 10 a.m.
Oh,
because it's the only time my buddy's friends are in are in camp. And so then I'm like, can I go? Got to get it before the lessons that afternoon. Got to get it in. And I'm like, this is nuts. This is not. I just used to see so many movies over the summer. Love the summer. I think even as an adult, not getting them off when I had a regular job, there was still so many things to do all summer. Because everything is fun. It's the festival. Oh, they're doing this festival over here. Doing this festival over here, like especially in Seattle.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy.
So much. Yeah.
Other, like in California, like things happened all year round. So it didn't, summer was a little miserable. It was too hot. So here, everything's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well. And I just went to the Sky Nursery and a local nursery. Mm-hmm. We're killing time while the cleaners were here. And I saw all the veggies are gone.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, I missed it. I missed planting season. I kept meaning to get to it, right? Oh, like, I'll get to that. I'll get to it. Oh, wait. Whatever.
Oh, man. I'll get to, like, I'm just, yeah, I'm definitely in the, it's not like bad. It's like the good throes of, if there's a good version of that, of like, there's so much that I want to do. And I'll just have to take a breath and be like, it's okay, Samantha. There's not time to do everything, but you know what? It's great. Cause it means that there's a lot of things that you want to do. And that's a great thing, you know, to be like, oh, there's
things
I want to do. It's like, okay, but be realistic. Like right now you can get done 2 things, 3 things, like these other things. Okay. Another day. But
3 things. What kind of wild thing are you?
No,
I mean, wildlife you live in.
No, I mean, it's way more than 3, but it's like the categories of things. You know,
no, like 3 sounds ridiculously a lot to have actually accomplished in a day. I can't.
It depends how big the project is, right? It's like, because we do far more than just 3 things in 1 day. But, you know.
Maybe you can. Yeah. I don't know.
I know you do. Today, like, I had a meeting. I went for a half an hour walk. I ate a salad. Ooh. I did some work.
Now we count eating salad as a
to do an
accomplishment.
Okay. It was like I had a salad, and then after that, I had I always talk about food.
I changed my Invisalign. Got that.
Yeah, so you did it. It's one thing you had to do, but that's for me. I think. Yeah, summers, to answer your question, I hear what you're saying. I'm just not at that stage because there's not like the clear delineation of, oh, my kid is in school for this many hours and now all of a sudden she's back home for summer. Like it's been like I've been you every day. Do you know what I mean? Your version of summer has just been my life.
And okay, tomorrow marks this, and this coming weekend feels like a huge adulthood moment for me. I'm going to be coaching my daughter's rec soccer team for a 1-day tournament that she's in that they're doing that we signed up for. Because I'm doing that, I am for the first time in like 6-7 years missing the 48-hour film project. I'm actually not participating for the first time to do a thing for my kid.
Yeah.
Which is the most adult thing you can do. Is most parent thing is to not do the thing that you always do because your kid has a thing. So you're going to like, okay, I'm going to not do it.
Yeah. I feel like that's parenting.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't, if I didn't feel sort of screwed over last year, I might've been like, no, I'm not doing the tournament. That's the day I shoot a movie. Because last year, someone told me they were going to put me in their movie. Like, you'll have a big part. And I was in it for like, I was cut out of the, lines. My only couple lines were cut. And the thing was, I knew I was going to get cut when I read it. I read the script. I was like, this part doesn't have to do with the rest of the film. They don't need it. They're going to cut this. They're going to cut this for time. I knew it. I just knew it. I was like, plot wise, it shouldn't be there. Like, it doesn't.
Can you get it though? At least can you get, well, it's already a year, but maybe you could have got the snippet for like a reel or something.
Nah, maybe. I didn't go to the, they're like, are you going to the screening? I'm like, I'm not in the film. You told me. After they told me they were warned me that I got cut. And I'm like, oh, okay. No, why am I going to go to the screening? You cut me out. You spent my day here. Cause the thing is, I would have, if I had agreed to that, that's the thing is, if I had known, oh, I'm not going to do, but that was my concern I raised. I was like, hey, you know, I mean, I just, you know, I take this away from my family and stuff. So I want it to be worth it. So mm-hmm. I'm looking for a team that I have a good portion to do with. And they're like, oh yeah, you'd have, they sold me on how much I would have to do. You'd be our most experienced actor. Da, da, da. And so I was a little salty off of that. It wasn't like if I had randomly signed up for one.
I mean, I don't blame you because I mean, the thing is, you're also doing it for free.
I would have joined a different group, or I would have helped. If I knew I was going to get cut, I would have just helped someone else produce their film, or I would have done the grip or something and helped with the parts that the other parts I know if I had missed out on. So I would have had different choices. And as a seasoned actor, I feel like I can make these choices on my career.
Mm-hmm.
So this year I was just like, I'll just do that. And I won't have to deal with, originally I was going to go back to shooting and do one, but with everything going on at home, like since recovery's been taking longer, I'm like, one, I can't leave Gretchen all day to deal with the kids. And then I'm just not operating at 40%.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, I can't do it this year. Maybe next year I'll do it. I want to bring, like, part of me wants to bring the gang back together. I want to do a 48 or a film. I don't even need to do it has to be the 48, but that's a good timely excuse, right? But like, I want to call friends from college that did theater with and go, be up here July 12th. I'm doing it. I'm putting an all-star team together. Everyone, all the actors I've worked with.
Oh my gosh. Can we please make a movie like that, Silas?
Like Ocean's. Even though
I wasn't. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, just like that. Yeah, let's do
it. Like Ocean's 12.
Let me in it, even though I didn't go.
Or is it the Blues Brothers? Huh?
Let me in it, even though I didn't do college with you. Let's do a
version. But you were in the first 48 that I directed. So. And then. Then the one we did on my roof.
Yeah. That one, I didn't know I was pregnant then.
Oh.
Yeah, because I think I did that, and then I did one other. I was on set for something else, and I was eating, like, a lot on set, like, a lot. And I was like, why am I still hungry? And then I took, there were 2 days of filming, and, like, after the first day, like, I went home, and I, like, looked at a pregnancy test, and I was like, oh. Which was, it was good because we were like, you know, trying, it was on purpose, you know, but I didn't realize I like was successful so quickly. Like it was so, once it was decided, it was like, like, wow, that was really good timing. Okay.
Oh,
so that was great.
Now I know it was decided. I don't know.
Oh, you didn't know that? Oh no.
I didn't know. I don't ask people. You never know.
Oh yeah. No, it was on purpose. It was on purpose. So that's been good. Cause if it wasn't on purpose, that would be definitely difficult.
I've known people who have been like, if it happens, it happens. Right. Like they're not that they're deciding I've always said that's a decision to have one.
That's not my personality. certainly not around this.
You don't want to improv life choices of.
No.
Yes. And
not for that. But the reason I brought it up was, and I forgot about this, was because I was practicing falls during. Yes, we were on the roof, but at your house, we had like some falls, which I did in my mind way better than it looked on camera, because they got cut from camera because they all looked bad.
You fell?
Yeah, it was not from the roof, like just on the ground when running or something. And I did some falls that just did not
look
that
good.
They did not look that good. That's why it's so funny, because it's like, I did not know. And I totally forgot about this, but I'm like, oh, so my kid actually, she was on set with me. Actually, I think she was on set with me like 4 times before she was born. So that was pretty cool. And then now I'm in this.
Did you get to do any videos like, hey, they need a pregnant person?
Well, I did. No, but I did one that I got. I don't want to say in spite of being pregnant. I kind of think I might have got cast in a different part if I wasn't pregnant. But They still cast me even though I was pregnant. And that was really special. It still is very special. And it'll be cool when Olivia's older and I could also point it out to her. Like, look at you. You can't see yourself, but you see how huge mommy's belly is. There you are. So, yeah. And now I'm in this big, you know, I don't know in how many years I'll get to do another acting thing again.
Wait, was it a commercial thing?
That one was actually Three Busy Debras. That was my second time on that TV series that was up here.
Did they just not? Was it just not acknowledged that you were pregnant?
Oh, it was very obvious I'm pregnant. I was
right, but was it not mentioned?
It wasn't a part of it. I was playing a shopkeeper. I mean, it had a small part, but
okay.
It was such a fun day. I did a lot of improv, and I was wondering which one of my set any if they would get in. I don't think any of my riffs did, but they laughed and they were just so sweet. It was just such a wonderful experience. I'm so grateful for it. Yeah.
I speaking of acting, like, do you have an acting reel, by the way?
I did.
So like, I don't have
them anymore. My other computer broke.
Oh. So I got asked by my agents, like, hey, do you have a reel? Then I'm like, I was working on one, but, cause they said he was talking to somebody about a movie part for me. And so he wanted to be able to send him a reel, and I'm like, let me go put it together. So I just did a lot. It'll be rough. So I just did a bunch, though. I forgot a whole little series that I did, but I just put my parts together from a bunch of things real fast and threw it out. But it was like 10 minutes long. I was like, they can just look at it to see me and whatever. But so I have to redo one, but it was just kind of nice. It was the first time I was like, I did get an audition then, a self-tape, but I haven't heard, so I don't know if I got the part. And part of me is like, I think I put too much work into it to get the part. The parts I get are the ones that I do the audition real fast, or something was going on during it, and I couldn't put a lot of effort in, and I felt horrible about the audition. That's what I get. The ones that I prepare for, spend time doing things, they're like, oh no. So
that's what some of my professors would always say with people. They would say, yeah, usually it's like when people are, as you said, just very busy, throw it together, or they're sick, because then they can't put the extra on it. In my experience, for what I've seen when I get cast, it's a mix. It hasn't been like just one or the other. And gosh, I'm so far removed from this world, it feels, but I'm not.
Do you not audition at all right now?
No, I don't have time right now. So, but interestingly enough, oh gosh, I should save this to tell you when we're off camera.
Okay, you can save it for then.
Okay.
Remember.
Okay, fine. Somebody probably may remember. Somebody just reached out to me the other day about my coaching. which I've had to take kind of a break from all that other stuff. Yeah? But, and that, yeah, that was actually, I did not expect it because I haven't been like, you know, investing in that, doing that stuff lately, but.
Hey, my home buying podcast, I've recorded like one episode in the last year and someone messages me every other week.
That's awesome.
About it, right? Like a question or wants the ebook, or I have a house closing in Austin from it.
Oh, congrats. So like,
that's the great things that just sit out there, right? Yeah. So you advertised your coaching or had videos out and they're just there and they're floating. And at some point someone's going to message you. Who knows what old businesses I have that will show up and people go, oh yeah. I'm like, I haven't done that in 10 years. What are you talking about? The age of the internet. Your old businesses.
You said something. I had a question for you. Oh, okay. So then here's the thing. How do you tell the real people from the spam people? So this person who messaged me, real person. But yesterday I got a spam message from somebody about real estate stuff. But they did it. They messaged me in such a way that it actually sounded like it could have been a real person. But what they asked me for, I was like, no, this is out on the market. If they're saying they can't find it, like that's false. So they're that gotta be spam.
We've talked on the show before about the dangers of AI and the world we're entering. And that is probably the biggest danger, I think, is the phishing posts are becoming so much more casual, and they seem so innocuous because they're just trying to get a conversation going. And they've learned how people respond. I mean, they probably learn it from just like taking marketing classes and then they just go, well, but how can I scam people? How can I get people to respond to this email? You know, so
I feel like I need to brush up on my basis of it's like, okay, well, you don't click on links.
Yeah.
Like, but then it's like also you can't just ignore people that could actually be clients. So
that is challenging.
Right.
I mean, so I think one, I do, if it is suspicious to me, and this is whether it's a text or email, and not just about real estate, about a lot of things, that I go like, I'll Google it.
The number or the email to see if it's a scam one.
Well, I'll Google the question. I'll like put it in parentheses. I'll put it in quotes and see if someone else says that, hey, I got this. Yeah. Is this legit? I'll check to see if the scam is a known scam. Mm-hmm. If they're so off the wall, I mean, yeah, there's probably a chance you could end up missing some business, maybe. But I kind of think I tend to think people will text me if they're serious. They're not just going to send an email.
That was the thing. It was a text message.
Oh, those are getting. That's why
it was so weird.
Hard.
And it was like, it was somebody, they were like, hi, my name is Dan. I'm looking for a home in the Bothell area that's on a quarter acre to an acre lot, basically. Yeah. That sounds legit. And I would be somebody you would ask for that, you know? So that seemed.
Wait, and so did you respond?
No, I actually messaged my managing broker because I was just like, I actually looked it up because I'm like, this person says that they can't find that. That's false. There's got to, like, there are homes with those parameters available right now. So that's the part that made me think that it was a scam because they said they couldn't find anything online. And you don't have to be on the MLS to see that that is out there.
But could you find anything?
Yeah, I did. That's what I did. I immediately went on because I'm like, yeah, there's stuff like this. But then I'm like, let me just double check. And that's funny. I'm just getting a scam likely call right now.
Yeah.
Do you want to be on the podcast? I just did a quick search on their parameters on Zillow to see if it was like forward facing. You know, words, you know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, there's plenty of choices right now. This is not real. And I messaged my boss to ask him, like, hey, this seems just about like, I think this is false, but it might be a client blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, ignore that. We all got that message.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, thanks for checking in. I almost messaged you. I was like, let me not bother Silas.
Right. You know, I've had a guy I had this spammer messaging, a real estate spammer who was, I was like, oh, what you looking for? Oh yeah. And I'm like, and then he tried to get me to go on WhatsApp. And I'm like, that's the one I knew they were dead. It was like, oh, this is fake.
Really? WhatsApp?
Because the second they want to get you, because they were foreign, but they were like, oh, do you know WhatsApp? It's really secure. And I prefer to do business over there. I'm like, oh, that's because you don't get caught.
And what if like somebody actually ever did want to go on WhatsApp just legitimately?
I need to have met them in person.
Okay.
Or at least had a Zoom call or something.
Well, that's like, the other thing that's hard, right?
Because pre-approval letter.
Well, yeah, the pre-approval. Yeah. Cause like meeting, I definitely feel like, excuse me, with all of this stuff out there, it's like, okay, well, if it's not somebody that I know, then it's gotta be a meeting in person at a public location.
Well, lately I just Zoom people to start.
Well, I think Zoom meeting. I think Zoom would be good, but I think the concern about Zoom is just with some of these AI features now.
Do you know what I mean? You think it'll be a fake person?
Have you seen that?
Like interacting with you?
Yeah, I saw something. Well, I wonder if it, oh wait, maybe it's not.
Was that a movie?
I saw something on the news about that a while back, but maybe it wasn't to the point where it was like Q&A yet. I can't remember.
I don't think they're that far
yet
to where you could not tell.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
I feel like there has to be some stumbling questions. Like there needs to be this safeguard for humans where you ask a question and AI can't.
I guess there's still, there, you know, also, like it, depending like on it, the human, you might prefer the AI.
Like in the science fiction world, you know, you could tell AI, like it would be the like Data from Star Trek. It'd be that, androids can't use contractions. And so that's how you realize, wait, this is AI. They're not using contractions. That makes, okay, you're fake. Yeah. Like,
That's what the ice bucket challenge was for.
Make sure you're not a robot.
Yeah.
Because you'd sizzle if you.
Right. Yeah. Because clearly there's no robots that are waterproof.
It's a good idea. I like this. Ice bucket challenge to prove you're not an android.
And it's kind of funny because I do think that there would definitely be the sort of like, oh, I can't tell, even still with it. Because there's got to be some androids that are waterproof.
Well, iPhones are waterproof. And then
there's got to be some humans that are like, right, exactly. There's got to be some humans that are going to act very robotic when the ice is thrown on them.
There's people that act robotic and they're just walking around. So,
yeah
I imagine when they got ice. I like the idea, though, of just testing people to see if they're a robot by like spraying them in the face.
Yeah.
Droid check. Sorry. Just doing a droid check.
Yeah.
Are you AI?
Are you AI? Are you a person?
Do that to a solicitor. Next time I get a solicitor.
Oh, my gosh. You open the door for solicitors?
Spray their face.
Oh, no. I don't open the door for people. I mean, I do in public places, like, you know, to open the door. To help them go in or out, you know, but like at home, I do not open the door for people. If I'm not expecting somebody, I don't open the door. Unless if it's somebody I know, then if I look out, I'm surprised. But if it's not, then no, don't open the door.
That's why I can see. I see them. I look out the window. I see it's a bug spray guy.
So they see you looking at them and then...
Let's look out. I don't care. I'll be like, hey, not coming. No, I usually open the door. I want to see how they're doing. Let them know. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Not doing it. Now that I don't know. I don't know if there's anything I don't. No wonder they would come to me. Any service I don't. I want to see how they're going to insult me. Like, so my driveway, it needs work. It's got a bunch of cracks in the asphalt, right? And when a guy stops at my house to go like, hey, we're just, you know, doing some work down the road, wondering if you were looking to get a quote to get your driveway fixed up. They didn't stop at other people's homes near me. They just stopped at mine. And like, yep, mine looks crappy. I can stop pretending like it doesn't. It's like when I had a lawnmower service, like a lawn service stop by my house once. The lady's like, hey, $20, I'll mow your lawn. I got the stuff right here. And I'm like realizing I'm the only one with a long lawn on the block. So they're just driving around looking for people that need their front yard mowed. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, thanks. I have a lawnmower. I'm just lazy. I guess I'll do that this afternoon. No. People insult you by asking if they can do work for you because obviously you're too lazy.
Yeah. Or you're too stiff. You know, like that time I was walking down the street and somebody sprayed water in my face.
Droid check.
I was so thirsty. Thank you for that water. It's refreshing. No.
Could that be one
that's
of those?
That's why it rains, you know, just to make sure that there's still enough humans on
there. That is why Seattle is one of the most droid-free cities.
Yeah, that's right.
In the U.S. This does really sounds like a video, an obnoxious TikTok video where a guy comes up and sprays people and goes, droid check, and gets people mad.
Yeah.
And threatening to call the police.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I thought you were a robot.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Here's a new iPhone. All right.
Oh, yeah. I think I'd be okay with that. Got to check the security levels of the water first, though.
Have you seen the videos where like the person is like someone's listening with their headphones to like a song? They're listening to their phone and the guy comes up and cuts the cords.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, sorry. I just, oh, whatever. And then they end up giving them like a cordless headphones, like or earbuds. But I'm always like, okay, but what if I'm not sure if I would be okay with that?
Yeah.
Like, what if I wanted the cord?
Sometimes I do use the cord because I don't use Bluetooth stuff. Unless if necessary, like I don't use it as much as other people. Cause I just don't think it's good to be up in your ear with all that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So
that's what I thought. I'm like, there's people that think that have that value and like, and plus don't just break my stuff. And then, oh, cool. You're giving me expensive headphones. My dad gave me these. These were an heirloom. How dare you?
Yeah. I just wouldn't like somebody like running up on me when they have scissors in their hand. Like, dude, don't run with scissors.
No. This is running across the street.
It's your iPhone. let's not do that.
I have learned that a lot more TikToks are fake than I thought.
Like AI? Those,
no, but like pranks where they actually have their actors.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So less pranks are happening than I thought were happening.
Okay. Because
they're all in on it. And that is, it's disappointing in the sense of just because I thought it was real.
Yeah.
But I am a little glad because I'm like, oh, at least not as many people are jerks as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
constantly.
Yeah, I could see that.
If as a parent, I mean, what would you tell somebody as a parent? Like, what in order to perform, to do like TV or commercial stuff, what would you tell somebody? Like, what do you think your number one thing needs that would help you get back into it as a parent? Is it just the time?
Okay, I'm going to just try to understand your question again. So what exactly is the question? Like
you can't audition right now.
Right.
Is it just time?
Yeah.
Like just having the time to go on, like, is it to actually perform? Because you know it'd be hard once you're actually, if you got cast, it would be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, sometimes you're on set like for more than 8 hours, and like my daughter has, I think, only been away from me for 8 hours max one day, like, or two. Geez, yeah. I don't know. Like we're not away from each other for that many long hours at a time.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready for it. I don't think she's ready for it either. But it's, yeah, it's just I was actually thinking of actually calling my agent or emailing her and just saying like, hey, I'm, you know, I think I might be able to get back out there a bit. But could I only be submitted to projects that would have me for a half day or would really have me out within this many hours? But I don't know if that's possible. And then also like, what if the person who was going to watch her got sick that day or something? And, you know,
yeah. Oh man.
Then,
yeah,
you know, then I don't show up, you know, then I can't go do the gig. And then they just get blacklisted or something. Do you know what I mean? So I just feel like too many, the time factor is just not, I got to wait longer.
I've been seeing stuff that's like Portland and I'm like, I don't know if I can, not right now. It's hard. There's been a couple that I've done because the money was high and I was like, I guess I'll figure it out if I get it. But I get so little that sometimes I'm like, I just don't want to say no too much. And also I'm always they've never booked me. Why do they even want to see me for this? They have never booked me. The same casting director.
They still like you, even though they haven't booked you, it doesn't mean they don't like you. You know, because there's a lot of people they're seeing, you know?
I know.
And it's not always just up to the casting director. We'll let
them
know. Right?
You know, tell them, hey, I just want to go, hey, can we chat? Can you let me know if you don't like me, could you stop calling me in? Because I'm feeling like you don't like me. Because you never,
waste their time like that. I don't know. But okay, here's the.
You don't? Do you think that's true?
This might be off topic. Just, it's on topic, but I don't know. Hopefully it's applicable. Is the way I feel, because I know you've got some, you know, like your wife is recovering. You've got a lot of things you're juggling. So it's just like, just don't torture yourself, because acting is still going to be there. So if you just take a while, I mean, if it's enjoyable for you to think about it and for you to like pursue these things still, then
I don't know if there's anything I hate more than auditioning.
And just don't do it. Take a break. Like right now,
FOMO?
FOMO can F off. I would have said it, but we're going on YouTube with this. No, it can F off, because I'm telling you, like right now, it's like you could have said I had 99 problems, but auditioning ain't one of them. Like right now, I'm so serious. Like I miss getting to act, but I also love not having to audition right now and having that like wrench of like rearranging my schedule and like all of that stuff just for those things and like the ups and downs of it. I'm like, you know what? I got enough stuff going on. I have enough other things I'm interested in right now. Realistically, in my life, I've accepted that this is not the time for it. In the future, there will be time for it again, and that's when I'm going to do it. But I'm not about to add that extra onto everything right now. Like, it's, so I'm just saying, so I, for me, I just feel like maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like you've got enough going on right now. Like, enjoy your audition vacation. Like,
this feels like my therapy session. Like, I should. Oh, I'm not paying attention to what I actually need. I probably do need that break of not doing it, but I'm not. You know, I got this fear. Like, I have this fear, I think, if I say I can't, I need four months off.
I 100% understand, because I lived through it. Also, low key, I should go be a therapist too. But anyway, yeah. Like, I, so thank you for that compliment. But unintended compliment I'm taking anyway. But no, I understand, because I 100% lived through it. 100%. 100%. 100%. I'm going to keep saying it. And I, because when I had to take, like, when I couldn't do any auditions after my daughter was born, and I had to take that break. And then eventually it got to the point where, was it like when she was a year or something, I could audition again. And then I got a gig and I was on set and it felt amazing. And I was like, oh yeah, I can still do this. I had like a couple gigs in that frame that I could do it. Life changed again and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm back in the, well, I just can't. I can't audition right now. And there was some turmoil of whatever around it. And then there was just like acceptance. And then I thought of something the other day, because of course there's always going to be these waves for us, like actors, that are like, we miss it and we feel a certain way, mm-hmm. but doing the whole like, yes. And the yes and improv bit of it is like, hey, but guess what? Like, what are these other dreams that I have for my life? What are these other things that I care about and that I want to do and that I actually have time to do now? This is what I get to focus on now. Acting is always going to be there. And when it's conducive to my life and it's not going to cause me more stress to do it, then I'll do it. Because like right now, I would just be stressed out and missing my daughter the whole time I'd be on set. I just could not. But in a year from now, or maybe a couple months from now, then I can.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. See, I think you have to worry about it more because you get booked a lot.
That's kind of you. I hope so.
I'm a bad actor, so I don't get booked a lot. So
that's why you should worry about it less.
I just keep auditioning. I just audition.
But I also feel like we should come to see you guys and come in your backyard or something if we don't come inside. I just feel like I'd like to see you in person. That's the moral of this story.
I just saw you.
Yeah, I know, for like 2 seconds, but
yeah,
I know. But
what? What's that have to do with my bad acting?
I forget. Like, I totally forget we're on Zoom sometimes to other people watching this. And I'm like, Silas, like, I just feel like I'm giving you a friend hug. Like, I just, that's why I'm like, because you're going through something. And then
always going through something.
Yes, we are. That's life, right?
Always.
Yeah. But I think this pressure you're putting on yourself, it's.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Like, part of me, every time I look to audition, I'm almost like, well, it's not like I'm going to get it. Like, I don't get much. So, I get like one thing a year. So I also don't want to miss that one thing that I get.
You know what? Okay. What? This is going to be obnoxious maybe, but scarcity mindset. That's like, because you've said it so many times, like you only get something once a year. You feel like if you don't audition, you're going to miss your chance to get it once a year. The whole like scarcity mindset about acting that you do, it's not letting you relax and take this time that you badly need right now. And
well, I don't know, but it also makes me okay. So our friend, old friend of the program, Nicole Santora, was talking to her last week, and I was like, you know, it's like singing. I enjoy singing.
Yeah.
I do not enjoy the sound of my voice. So I assume it sounds as horrible to other people as it does to me. So, but it doesn't stop me from doing it in my house. I keep going on because I can't, there's only, I mean, yeah, there's, I can do a little bit about it, but not much. It is what it is. So I think when I've gotten bookings, it's the same. It's not like I had an abundance mindset at the time. It's because I'm like, I've actually gotten booked more since I stopped caring.
Well, yeah.
The stop. I don't think that I'm going to get it.
I don't know. I mean,
I just never think I'm going to get it.
I'm not really saying, okay, what am I trying? I think it's like always like two things at the same time, right?
Yeah.
I can say this stuff to you and then I could also get upset that I'm not like doing more acting stuff and whatever. Like, and I understand, I understand the feelings. Like I get it. It's just, it sounded.
I admit I probably need therapy, which I'm getting, but I don't, you know, I mean, kind of acting trains a lot on rejection.
It does a lot. What did you say about rejection?
It trains you a lot on rejection, getting used to rejection.
Yeah. And it's, you've heard of like the locus of control.
No.
It's probably a therapy term too, but basically it's like there's so much in life that's with outside of our control. And when we can focus on what's inside of our control, it really helps us to feel more empowered and more calm and more happy. And I think one of the things that's so hard about acting is that so much of it is outside of your control. And especially when you're trying to do it as a profession, it's like then your livelihood is outside of your control. And there's all these things that are outside of your control. There's like such a minute part of it that is actually within your control that it's really tough.
Yeah. I mean, that was an appeal to making my own stuff too, partly like nobody.
That's great.
Nobody wanting me.
Maybe well, I wish that I had that mentality, like right when I had graduated. It took me a really long time to actually get to that mentality. Now, of course, we have better equipment to do it too. Like it's a bit easier, but I wish I had just recognized that. A few of my friends out of town, I mean, some of them in town probably too. I just haven't been great at being in touch, but out of town, they've put on some solo shows and it's so inspiring and exciting and also like a good reminder of like, oh yeah, like, yes, we can do that. I did that years ago. I've done it years ago, but completely forgot about like, oh, that's another, I'm talking a lot. Like it's so nice that you think that I do a lot of work because for me, I can still, when I'm not feeling like all zen or happy about it, I can get like salty being like, but I didn't get my TV series and I didn't get into that movie. And
Yeah. I think I'm a decade past being mad about that part. I definitely had my, you know, it's particularly sometimes hard because I got so many compliments, like in college. And then to just be faced out of college with the not being as desired as you were before is like a dang, everyone wanted to work with me before. And now I can't, oh, what? Okay. And then you're like, I know I've been told, like, if you're getting callbacks, that's all you, like, you're doing your job if you're getting the callbacks, because that means they want to see you. But then they, it's just they
say, but looks like.
I've heard from my agent that.
No. Yes. Okay. Yes. And the result.
Agent says if you're getting called back, that's good. Yes. Like, they're not going to drop me if I'm getting called back.
Well, yeah. No, right? I mean, yes. Yes. In terms of like professional actor stuff, if you are getting callbacks, then you are doing your job. You are skilled. You are hireable if you're getting callbacks. But I personally, I feel like that's also not within the locus of control. So yeah. What we can control is like you can control how often you show up and you do your work. If you're taking your trainings, like what you're doing to get better, your mindset, but you don't really have any control over whether or not you get called back. Like if you are able to take some film acting classes with some CDs in the area or something like that, who can give you additional, like an additional skill set that are going to make your auditions go better, then yeah, your callback rate is going to be higher probably. But
there's only so many emails I could get where like, oh, you were so close. We were so close. You were even the thankfulness, you know, like there's one thing when I did the lotto commercial. Where I played Steve, I ate my sandwich, and I just had a quick glimpse. It was just a quick glimpse of me, right?
I just love that. I played Steve and I ate my sandwich.
Yeah. It was just a quick glimpse of me. And I didn't get it at first. And then I got the rejection. I was released. And then I got a call the next day that the other actor had backed out, right? And so they wanted to see if I'd still do it. And this was still during when you needed COVID testing to get done. So they had to like the time to do it. And I'm like, okay. And so like I went there knowing I was second choice. And then they were like, I went in and my, the clothes I had weren't fitting right. I told them the size and they were a little small. And so the casting, the wardrobe guy was kind of like annoyed, and I'm like, well, it's the size my clothes say, and I'm sorry, but like there was so much emphasis on it not fitting right, and I was like having
like a woman
issues about my weight as it was. Yeah. And I was on point. They're like, you okay? And I was like, oh, I just want to stop talking about how I look. All right.
Yeah, it feels
don't use me. Then don't use me.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to come here. How about don't make me go pick up my clothes or have me come in for a costume fitting instead of depending on what I tell you my size is. I'm an actor. Of course I'm lying what my size is. Yeah. I get women get it too, but that doesn't I know women get it more.
Like making light of it. I was just like, that's a crappy feeling. And yeah.
So I'm there. I'm there with my sisters. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you go through.
One thing though is like, you don't have to mess with your hair as much.
You really can't. There's nothing I can do.
Sometimes like I'll look at some of my audition tapes and I'll be like, oh, I thought my hair looked good that day. I'm like, oh, just like, oh, that's too bad. Like, but, and then there was one I thought for sure I wasn't going to get, cause my hair I thought looked like a mess, but I did not have time to do anything about it. And it just had to happen. And then they cast me. And I gave them options for how I was like, I'll have more time. How do you want me to do my hair? This, and they're like, the way you wore it in the video is good. I'm like, what? I would not want to go out in public. Like, okay.
All right, I'll go take a nap and get up.
Thank
all
you. Right. Like,
oh my gosh. Hey, well, we're at about at that time here, Samantha.
Memory lane.
Well, it's good. I'm glad to have you today as my acting therapist.
Yes.
My performance therapist.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. In this trying time, if we can't have if we can't have Medicare and, you know, rights, at least we can have free acting therapy here on Black and a Half.
I can't even think on it.
It's
I
acting therapy is worth its weight in gold, right?
I tell you, I know I always, I just tell you, I just don't understand it. Like, I cannot wait to be, I'm like, if, yeah, this law of attraction stuff, it was really, I have got to be better at practicing it. Okay. But also it's not just like wishing on a genie and it happens. But I tell you what, if it actually worked and if I actually became super rich, I would help so many people. I just cannot understand when people are super rich and they don't want to help people. I just,
yeah,
I no, can't.
It is a funny thing. Like, why are you complaining so much? Things have worked out for you in the system that you have now. Why are you not helping? I fundamentally don't understand why people wouldn't help other people.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Just the... They didn't... But then I also still... I often think about there's a guy who owes me gas money from about 11 years ago. He didn't pitch in the carpool. And I do still think about that.
Did he know he was supposed to?
We all were, I'll drive, and just thought everybody, he's like, oh, you know what? I'll get you later. You know, the other four people pitched in. And I still like, okay, I know he needed the money. He doesn't have them. Didn't have the money. And I was fine ish at the time, but I do still think about that dude never pitched in.
Maybe he paid it forward.
Huh?
Maybe he paid it forward, but I think
probably because poor people give out more money than rich people.
Well, and also though, I think too, it's all the fact that he said that he would and he didn't. That's different than like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't right now. Or maybe embarrassed to say that, but still, like, nobody likes being lied to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do think if they had just said, dude, I'm broke right now, I would have been like, dude, don't worry about it. I got you.
Yeah, because
no worries.
If I gave somebody money as a gift, like just to give it to them, I will forget about it. I'll be glad that I can do it and just forget about it. But if they say, like, I'm paying you back, and then they don't, then I'd be mad. Be like, but you lied. You lied, though. I could have just given it to you.
So I guess that's a taste. That is the empathetic part where I go, oh, I get why people are mad about people not. Oh, you getting something free that you shouldn't. I'm like, well.
But yeah, those things that they're. That's
but,
not.
But that's I, not. I don't think anyone should not get like health care. I think it's OK if they don't. They're not able to get a ride to the comedy contest.
Right. And there's a cost. There's a cost no matter what. Like,
yeah,
it's there's still a cost to.
Oh, and we will pay it. We will likely pay the cost.
Anyway, so you guys, subscribers, millions of viewers, thank you. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for viewing. Thank you for increasing our power. We're here at Black and a Half. We help other people. So
help other people.
We help ourselves and we help other people.
Like the Rebel Alliance helped free the galaxy. We too hope to free our galaxy. It's like a universe, the DC universe, the Marvel universe. There's a Black and a Half universe.
Yeah, I get it.
We're going to free them. And free our minds. And then the rest will follow.
The rest will follow.
Be colorblind.
And colorful.
Don't be so shallow.
And eat your marshmallows.
I was quoting En Vogue there for a little bit, so.
I wasn't, clearly not.
Yeah.
clearly oblivious.
How do you not get my early 90s music references, Samantha?
I don't know, but now I want a marshmallow. I saw at Trader Joe's they had these like watermelon strawberry marshmallows or something. They were very interesting. I almost got them, but too much sugar.
Watermelon, wait, say it again.
They were like watermelon strawberry marshmallows, I think. They were
watermelon strawberry marshmallows. They looked
delicious. And I almost got them, but I was like, no, because I can eat one and then put it away. But if my kid sees it.
Oh, yeah. She'll be like, give me some of those watermelon.
And the sugar rush that will ensue. I'm like, no, that's not a wise choice. So I didn't even draw attention to it, which was hard.
You know what you could do if she you got it and she tried to, if she asked for one? Droid check. Just just trying to.
On her? No, never.
If you're not, hey, everyone tells me their cats are like children. So
they are, but.
So just treat your children like a cat. Just this little squirt like bottle.
Love
just,
it and cherish it forever. Done.
Just squirt it. Off the couch, girl.
No, I can't do that.
I me neither. I talk a big game, but I just can't do it. All right. It's been great seeing you,
Samantha. You too.
All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half.